Amen. I invite you please to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew 6, and our verses this morning, verses 19 through 24. If you're visiting with us, typically Pastor John preaches in the mornings. And this text is coming from a series in the Sermon on the Mount that I've been preaching in our evening services. But this morning we will turn there. So Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19, I would ask you please to stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is Jesus speaking. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we ask once again that you would be pleased to take your word and by your spirit apply it to our hearts. May it be living and active in us this morning. May it pierce, dividing between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, all for your glory and for our good. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps you've heard the saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. They should probably name flea markets something along those lines, or antique shops, trash and treasure, or treasure and trash. But the saying is getting at the idea that something that is worthless to one person, take a stamp or an old book or a baseball card, might be for someone else something invaluable. Now, a stamp or a baseball card or a book, it's just ink and paper and glue, as far as I understand. But for some people, because of other circumstances, that ink and paper and glue is worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Perhaps worth a trip across the country to a museum or something like that. But to someone else, it might as well just be thrown in the garbage can. And why? What's the difference between glue and paper and ink for one person and treasure for someone else? Well, it's the heart. Your heart is set upon something in a certain way for whatever reason. Your affections are on that thing, and so it becomes treasure for you. No matter what it's worth to someone else, no matter what it's inherently worth according to its properties, its physical properties, it might be treasure for you because of how your heart holds it. And this morning, Jesus is wanting us to think as he brings this text to us in his word. He's wanting us to think about treasure. He's wanting us to think about our treasure. What is it that we see as meaningful and beautiful, enriching, satisfying? What we see as valuable? And really the question that's being presented to us this morning in each of these three sections of text, it's forming one question that we need to ask, and that is, what is my treasure? What is my treasure? It's a very simple question, but it's not simple to answer. Because we are complicated people as sinners, and our hearts are all over the place in their affections. But Jesus is having us ask this morning, what is my treasure? And I'd like to approach the text under really just two headings and ask the question, what is the treasure of my heart and my eyes? The treasure of my heart and my eyes. And then secondly, what treasure is my master? What treasure am I serving? That's how we'll approach it this morning. So first of all, what is the treasure of my heart and eyes? Look again at the first set of verses here, beginning in verse 19. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, right away, Jesus is contrasting two types of treasure. There's a reality of two types of treasure that he's putting before us. and he's contrasting them, and he's saying this one kind of treasure, this earthly treasure, don't store that up. Don't lay that up. Don't try to save that for yourself. Instead, save the heavenly kind. Now, immediately we have to begin asking some practical questions. Is Jesus being some sort of Marxist or communist here, and he's telling us not to have savings accounts and IRAs, and, you know, that we shouldn't be financially and fiscally responsible in those ways? And is that what he's getting at here? Well, absolutely not. The Bible never condemns having money. The Bible never condemns saving money. In fact, in Proverbs, if you've read through Proverbs, you remember the go to the ant, a little saying that we have where you're supposed to actually take heed to the ant and the fact that it saves up for later, that it works hard now and saves for later. And so saving money is not the problem here. Having money is not the problem. There are many godly people in the Bible who are extraordinarily wealthy. Abraham was extremely wealthy. Zacchaeus, Job, Joseph of Arimathea. These are wealthy, righteous people. And so the problem is not with stuff or having stuff. Jesus is not condemning money and having it. But what is he condemning? Well, look at the little qualifying phrase there. He says, do not lay up for yourselves, verse 19, treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That for yourselves is all important there. He's qualifying the intention of the heart here. It's the heart that's the issue. Are you laying up for yourself treasure? What he's getting at is that is this something that you're doing to bring fulfillment and joy and satisfaction? Is this where your love is? Is this what you long for and look to for your happiness? And so Jesus is getting at the difference between being a steward of money and seeing ourselves as owners of money. A steward of possessions or an owner of possessions. There's a big difference. The stuff can be the same, but if you are laying up for yourself with an eye to self and the purpose of self-satisfaction and self-fulfillment, self-care, as it were, then what you are doing is you're saying, this is mine and this is for me. These are for my purposes. This is for my life. If you are a steward, then you say, this has been given to me by God and it is His. I'm simply managing it on His behalf. He has entrusted it to me, and while I benefit from it, it is ultimately for His glory and for His kingdom. And there's a world of difference in the way there that we approach things, because the stuff that we have is not the issue, and the amount of it is not the issue. You can be a billionaire and have a stewardship mentality that this doesn't belong to me ultimately. It belongs to God. With our children, that's one of the things we're trying to teach when it comes to sharing and those sorts of things, is the fact that your stuff isn't really yours. We're not telling them it's ours, that we bought it and that sort of thing, but it belongs to God. And so the phrase that we're trying to get in mind here is that, oh no, my sibling is taking my stuff. Well, is it really your stuff? Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. Okay, yes, very right answer. Now let's get it into the heart. But God wants us, Jesus wants us to have this sort of mindset, whether we are on welfare or whether we have more money than we know what to do with. The things and the possessions that we have, they don't really belong to us. They're not for us. We should not be laying up for ourselves these things. And so whether you have nothing or whether you have everything the world could offer, it seems, you can be godly and Christ-exalting and kingdom-minded and loving of your Lord in your attitude towards your things. Or you can be miserly. You can be self-centered. You can be a lover of earthly treasure. And Jesus is telling us it is foolish to be a lover of earthly treasure. It's foolish to try to lay up for yourselves here these things on earth as if they would satisfy you. as if they could fulfill your deepest longings and needs and desires. Because notice the point that he makes in the latter part of verse 19. He says, don't lay up these things for yourselves here on earth, because this is where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves, they break in and steal these things. He's getting at the point that you can't keep it. Now, he's talking in a context where moths and rust were sort of the chief enemies of things. You try to store away physical treasure and something is going to get to it. If it's garments, the moths are going to eat it. If it's coins, you know, the rust is going to get to it. And even if those things don't do it, somebody might break in and take it from you. In our day, we might think, well, that's probably not going to happen. I have mothballs and climate control and an alarm system. So, you know, so maybe this scripture doesn't really apply. But we're missing the point if we think that, because what Jesus is saying is that earthly treasure is temporary. It's transient. For most of us in this room, our earthly treasure, the amount of it goes up and down with the stock market and the housing market. And even if we live our entire lives and we do wonderfully well financially, at the end of our life, you know, no matter how much stuff you have, you can't take it with you. That treasure will not be yours any longer. And it does you no good when you are in the grave and you are being eaten and corroded. Jesus' point is, it is foolish to find treasure in this life, because it does not ultimately benefit you. It cannot ultimately benefit you. There is an inevitability of its passing nature. And so instead, don't be a fool. Lay up for yourselves treasures elsewhere. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, don't spend your time, energy, efforts, and life trying to accumulate things that are ultimately are worthless. Live your life with an eye towards heavenly treasure. Those things that cannot and will not be taken from you. Those things which will benefit you into eternity. That is the treasure you should be working towards. But what is the treasure of heaven? If we're thinking along the lines here of streets paved with gold and great mansions and banquet feasts, while those things might be there, I'm pretty sure we're on the wrong track with what Jesus has in mind. We're not going to care about those sorts of things as much in glory. When we think about the treasures of heaven, we should first off start and think about the treasure of heaven, which is the Lord Jesus Himself. He is in heaven. He is our treasure. It is through Him that the Word proclaims that we have everything else. That wonderful passage in 1 Peter, where the Apostle is speaking to us of the inheritance that we have, that is undefiled and unfading and imperishable, kept in heaven for you. The inheritance he's speaking of is that redemption we have in Christ and all that comes with it. Treasures that cannot and will not be taken away. Those blessings of Jesus, of being God's adopted children. That we are co-heirs with Him of heaven. That we will reign with Him above, as it were. Those treasures that we have through Jesus of peace with God. Of clean consciences. Joy in our hearts. The ability to come before the throne of grace and bring our petitions to God and have Him hear our prayers and answer our prayers. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the love of self. Freedom and ability to love other people in this life and not just love stuff and their stuff. These are treasures that affect our lives more greatly than any other worldly possession ever could. And Jesus is saying, these are the things that you want to lay up. These are the things that you can participate in even now. These treasures of the Holy Spirit in you, these fruits of the Spirit of patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and love. It is a treasure to be able to love. It is a treasure to be self-controlled. It is a treasure to have the joy and peace of God in your hearts. And Jesus is saying, these are what your focus should be. So how do we do that? How do we lay up treasures for ourselves? He's certainly not getting at some sort of merit here, that you are meriting some sort of gifts of God that would go against everything else he teaches. But you lay up these kinds of treasures in this life by walking with Jesus, by abiding in him. The more we walk with Christ through the pages of his word, the more we abide in him through prayer, by being in public worship, by spiritually feeding upon him at the table as we will. These are things we call the means of grace, and they are the grace of God in us, changing us, making us more heavenly even now on earth, bringing us closer to the identity of Christ in whom we are hidden. And that is the whole picture of Christian sanctification, and the end goal for us is to be like Jesus. To love like Jesus, to be conformed to his image, to die more and more to sin, and to live more and more to righteousness. And that is a treasure that we will have only in full once we get to heaven. But it's a treasure that we get to taste of now, as he conforms us to himself. And so as we walk with him, we become more like him. As we abide in him, he makes us more like himself. He tells us in verse 21, he sums up this point. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is reminding us that the point of all of this is that he wants our hearts. He wants us to want him. He wants us to give ourselves to him. He has given himself for us. He wants us to love him in return. He wants his kingdom, his glory, to be our great treasure. And so the question comes to us, is he? Is our heart with Jesus? Or is our heart somewhere else? If Jesus is not our treasure, then our heart will be elsewhere. And if our heart is elsewhere, it has great ramifications for the rest of our life. And that's his point in the next section, beginning in verse 22. Notice what he says here. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this illustration is a little confusing at first. And it took a little while to understand, like, okay, what is he getting at, and why is this in the midst of this passage on treasure? But what helps to understand is the metaphor that he's using about the eye. In his context, that was language that we would have used in our day, similar to the heart, that the heart is this, and when we talk about our heart being led astray and our heart being set on things, the eyes here are that same metaphor. And what Jesus is saying is that where your eyes are set, or where your heart is set, it takes the rest of you with it. The rest of your direction is set by what your eyes are set on. That's where the imagery of the body comes in, where if your eyes are able to see, then your body has good direction and everything else can function properly. If your eyes can't see, then the rest of your body can't function and you're really in trouble because you're just bumping around and that sort of thing. What Jesus is saying is that the point he's making is that if our heart is set on treasure of this earth, the entire direction of our life is going to be one in darkness. The entire point of what we're doing and why we're doing it, all of our activities, all of our energies are going to be expended in the wrong direction. And that is a dark place to be. That's his exclamation at the end there. If your eye is bad, so if your heart is set on the wrong thing, your whole body will be full of darkness. Your whole direction will be one of darkness. And so if then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? what he's telling us is that the love of this earth, the love of the treasures, so-called, of this life, will set us on a very bad direction. Will set us into great darkness. And it is a place that we don't want to be. And so, Christian, this morning, where is your heart? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's also asking us, in the other metaphor, what are your eyes set on? What is your direction? What consumes you? And when we're speaking of earthly treasure here, I do think he has in mind primarily finances and possessions and those sorts of things. But the application goes beyond that. Because we can think of position and reputation. We can think of climbing, you know, the corporate ladder. We can think of pleasure seeking. We can think of just living the good life. All of these things could be treasures of this earth which captivate our heart. Wanting other people to think well of us and putting ourselves out there to have people praise us. These things can be what we set our affections upon. And so Jesus is wanting us to ask ourselves, you know, are we setting our heart and our minds on those things which are fading and decaying? Are our affections rooted in those things which aren't lasting and ultimately, because they are, our affections will help destroy us? Or at least at the best, not lead us towards Jesus. So what do you spend the greatest energy and effort in your life thinking about? What do you wake up thinking about? What do you daydream about? That's where your heart is. What do you fear? What do you long for? What do you hope for? What do you think about would fulfill you and satisfy you if you see yourself as unfulfilled and unsatisfied right now? If you're discontent with your life, what is it that you put in that place of saying, if I had this, if I could do this, if I could be this, then I would be happy? Brothers and sisters, those things are lies that we tell ourselves. Because if we are not content with Jesus, if he is not the treasure of our hearts, we will not be content with anything else. We'll keep filling the void with one thing after another, and none of it will satisfy. It might give you a bit of a rush for a while. It might give you some sort of temporal happiness. But it will not be what only Jesus can be for you. So I beg of you, consider closely where your heart is, what your vision is cast upon, what is the energy of your life. Well, secondly, Jesus teaches us to think about this in terms of what is my master? What am I serving? And we come to verse 24 here. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So in the process of contrasting earthly treasure and heavenly treasure, Jesus is reminding us, and really it's all the same larger point, he's reminding us that everybody serves something. Whether you realize it or not, you are serving something with your life. And really, you are a slave of something. Paul makes this point in Romans chapter 6, where he contrasts being a slave of sin and a slave of righteousness. And there's no third option. You are a slave of one or you are a slave of the other. And what Jesus is having us do here is drill down in our heart and ask, well, what am I actually serving with my life? If I'm a Christian, then certainly I'm saying I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving God. But what actually has mastery over me? What is actually in the chief place of my heart that I'm taking direction from? The power of his point is to convict those of us who at times attempt to love and serve earthly treasure, not have it and steward it, but to love it and serve it and think that at the same time we can love and serve God. There's a difference. You can have earthly treasure. You can have a lot of it without serving it. Or you can have none of it and your entire life is devoted to trying to serve it. And so again, it's the heart. Jesus is going after us. And here there's something very subtle that as Christians we need to think about, because there's certain kinds of sins that are just obvious. You're sinning. Everybody sees it. You see it. They see it. People halfway across the world see it. You know you're in sin. And then there's sins that are really subtle and very hard to diagnose and to see. Because it's not wrong to work hard and to make money. It's not wrong to have nice stuff. But it's wrong to love those things in the place of Jesus. And we call that worldliness. When we love those things more than we love God. When we devote ourselves to those things more than we devote ourselves to God. That is worldliness. And J.C. Ryle, echoing that famous passage from Samuel when they speak about Saul killing his thousands and David his 10,000s. J.C. Ryle writes about this. He says, quote, "Open transgression of God's law slays its thousands, but worldliness, its 10,000s. Worldliness is so deceptive, so subtle, that it slays tens of thousands without them even beginning to realize it. Has worldliness crept into our hearts? Or has it done more than crept? Has it overtaken our hearts? We need to ask ourselves these questions. We need to ask ourselves, is this world my portion? According to the language of the Psalms, that God is our portion and He is the one that satisfies us. So is He the one that does that, or is this world really the one that does that? Am I serving the Lord with my energies and my affections and my time and all of those things? Or am I serving this stuff? Am I serving a fading kingdom? Jesus makes the point that you cannot serve both at the same time. No person can have two masters. It does not work. And look how strong his language is here. He says, if you try to have two masters, if you try to have the world and God, you will hate the one and love the other. And you will despise the one and love the other. Jesus is saying, if you love the world, you despise God. And it's no wonder then that when people are living a life where they claim Christ and they claim to be devoted to Him and that they love Him, but then things go awry and things go wrong, that then they accuse Him and they reject Him and they stand shaking their fist at God saying, how dare you do this to me and take all these things from me? Because what has been exposed in their heart is not that they love God, but that they love the gifts of God. And when those were gone, they hate Him. And James tells us that friendship with the world, or what we call worldliness, is enmity. It's hostility towards God. And sometimes we don't see that and we don't feel that, but it's lurking right there under the surface because we love and serve our idols and we hate those things that threaten them. And God and Jesus threaten our idols. So Christian, where is your heart? And what is your treasure? That's the question that we're being presented with today. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, maybe you have not really thought about these things in this way before. But Jesus would want you to understand that you are a servant of something. You're a slave to something. And if you are not a Christian, whatever you are a slave to will destroy you. Jesus is the slave master you want because He's the one who died for you. He's the one who gave Himself for you. And so the call of the Scripture this morning is come to Him. Come to Him with your mess. Come to Him with your sins. Come to Him with your burdens. Come in faith and repentance and lay it before Him and have Him as your treasure. He's the only treasure. He's the only true treasure. And Christian, if you're here this morning and this is striking a chord and you see that, you know, my heart is full of worldliness and I do love the things of this world more than I love God, and I'm not even sure what to do about it because I feel so deep into it. What you need, what we all need regularly, is what an old preacher called the expulsive power of a new affection. What expunges and expels sin from us is love for something else and love for something greater. A new affection. We sin because we love something, and we love something in the we love wrongly. And so what we need is to love rightly. And we need to see the riches that we have and the wealth and the treasures that we have in Christ and in His gospel. We need to take to heart Paul's words in Ephesians 2. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And get this, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Christian, you have the immeasurable riches of the kindness of God to you. Meditate upon that. Dwell in that. Embrace that truth as it comes to you in the Scriptures, and realize that you already have the greatest treasure eternity can offer. You just need to see it for what it is. Ask God to show it to you for what it is. Ask Him to give you an affection and a love for the treasure that He has given you in Christ. Ask Him to give you the heart to long to walk with Jesus. And if you walk with Jesus, if you abide in Him, you will see that what this world offers is trash, because what you have is treasure. So we pray that that will be for all of us at the core of our hearts. Jesus, our treasure. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, You indeed are our all. Your Son is our treasure. He is the treasure of heaven that is there even now, preparing a place for us. May He be the treasure of our hearts above all else. May He be our greatest affection, our greatest love. May that love cast out all other worldly loves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.